So, welcome again to our little pre-talk introduction. This is the English translation. Yeah, the English translation of the talk, Quo Vadis Gesichtserkennung, or Quo Vadis, so where are we going with facial recognition? You are hearing a translation made by Demir and B, and we will begin shortly. If you have feedback, feel free to use either the feedback form or the hashtag PW20 or PW20 online on either Mastodon or Twitter. Yeah, we'll start soon. So for those who just arrived, welcome again to the translation of the talk Quo Vadis Gesichtserkennung? Where are we going with facial recognition? Translating today for you are Dimir and B. And we are about to go live to begin. Yeah, very welcome at the Privacy Week. It's day six, and day for day, there are new and exciting topics about the society we live in, but also our private lives. And now there will be the next. Please always remember to check the schedule for changes. Whenever you mark things for yourselves, just check if they are the same. You can find it down here. There's a link to the Fahrplan, FAHRPLAN. The next talk will be in German. And as you have already found, there is a translation. And later the talks will be at media.ccc.de. Yeah, whoever has questions, you probably know Mastodon, you pretty much certainly know Twitter, use the hashtag PW2020, use that for questions, or use the contact form where the questions will arrive with us directly right after the talk and might get answered immediately. And yeah, of course, you can still participate even though we are on the finish line pretty much, you can still participate. At our webpage, there might still be some jobs to do, and I can recommend it. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, you can still buy merch for this basically free and, this event without cost for you. And if you wear our merch in public, then you also show that this topic is important to you and that that we are not alone, that we think it's important. And yeah, thank you for the sponsors, but also for all the participants and all the helpers that really did a lot of work to bring this event right to your screens. And let's begin. The next talk is Starbuck, Quo Vadis facial recognition. And yeah, it's known by now, whenever Starbuck is somewhere, it's like, oh, there's a biometric thing with fingerprints, let's break it. Oh, there's iris recognition, let's break it or see if it's a good idea at all. And Congress, I think it was last year, they had venal recognition. And yeah, maybe we should keep working on that. And whenever it's identity or biometric systems, it's kind of his topic. And for implementations about that, the next topic is right going there. So where are we going with facial recognition? Or yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. Stage is yours, Starbuck. Yeah, thanks for the announcement. And thanks to the whole crew. We spent about half an hour now to get it running, and it's a nice crew. Now, first notion, the Quo Vadis might be a bit much. It's more, how are we working with this right now, and a bit, where is it going? First of all, how are the techniques working at all, and where is it used? And giving a few numbers about Germany mostly, and then I will talk about the tests that happened so far. A few of those were in Germany, and then of course, what kind of measures can we take, and how can you protect yourself against it, and surveillance, and yeah. Yeah, and how can we get over it? That's a topic important to me. So now, to take those pictures, there are basically two big groups. For one, there are imaging techniques in 2D, and you can either take them normally, just the visible range of light you can see on the left side, just photos as we know them, and increasingly the facial recognition software also uses near infrared light. So the light that is right next to visible light, and then there's true infrared, so thermal radiation, and that's rather rare because, well, the resolution is rather low and it doesn't work as well. So we will focus on the first two, and it has to be said that your algorithms that work with those, they take a lot of areas of the face, mostly around the eyes, nose, and the face, and the mouth. So yeah, the pandemic with the masks, you already can notice it doesn't work as well in your phones. And some suppliers try to make it run even though you're wearing a mask, but just using the area around the eyes is not working as well because you have a lot less information. So security is not working as well. And the other thing is obviously 3D. There is mostly two big things to get 3D images from one camera in the first place. So first of all, what you know from human eyes, stereo optical techniques. So you have two cameras or two eyes, and they have a slight difference in degree and take their own images and can calculate a 3D image using that. And then there's decoded lights approach, where light is used that is encoded, so it gets projected deliberately onto a face. And this here on the right is a technology from Siemens. It's a bit older. So they are projecting coded light, if you will. So they are using an actor, and oh yeah, here on the left, they are projecting lines or stripes of light, and wherever it is, so whenever they hit a 3D whenever they interact in a 3D way with a face, it gets distorted in a certain way and can be calculated from that distortion. And on the right, they are using point clouds. And with the time of flight, they can also calculate or extract the information about the 3D topography. And Siemens talk about 0.2 millimeters of resolution, which I find incredible. So once we got those images, we have to extract the face somehow, or to get the differences between faces, or to, yeah, compare faces. And that's where we get to the algorithms. One of the most easiest is a graph algorithm, where you have certain points, for example, tip of the nose, the chin, and then you just take the angles and the distance between these points and get those, and use that to calculate a template of the face. Another option is here visible on the right, and that's the method of the so-called eigenface, similar to eigenvalue, I imagine, where you have certain basic faces and those are averaged. And then you say 90% from face 1, then 20%, minus 20% of phase 2, and that's how you calculate the template of a specific phase. And for a while now, machine learning is the hot topic, and of course also in facial recognition. So the algorithms are trained with the faces, and then they do something. Whatever they do, it's not really clear. Nobody really knows it. And so those might be tricked relatively easily or confused, which I will come back to later. In general, facial recognition, pro and contra. Pro is, of course, that it's usually not necessary to have an extra camera. So it's a software-only system. Or those softwares usually can use the normal cameras in a phone or on a computer. And even those near-infrared cameras are usually just normal silicon chips. But from a privacy standpoint, consent is a problem. So it's quite difficult to recognize people without, and they can't, so it's difficult for people to evade these techniques.
Oh, okay, sorry, it seems like the other translators the internet had a problem. So, sorry. He said, the problem with imaging is that you don't have consent, or it's hard to get consent, and the surroundings are very important for cameras, so we don't know. So, and you have higher false positives if, like, the lighting is wrong and stuff like that. And then we see, like, a facial recognition is working, like, okay-ish if we do one-on-one comparisons, if we have templates, but when we compare against big databases, the detection rate actually goes down pretty quickly. Where is it used actually? Well, of course, like if you want to unlock your phone or app, like banking apps, so in general they like to ask you, do you want facial recognition, do you want fingerprints? Very similar is if you want to access just buildings or rooms. And now for approximately 15 years in Germany, you also have like the electronic passport, where they force you to have facial images within your passport to verify that you actually are the person depicted in the document. They now start doing this on the airports as well, so that you have like your electronic boarding pass, so that you have like facial recognition aware boarding passes. More or less your boarding pass is directly connected. And so you just show your face and everyone knows that, so you don't need the boarding pass anymore, actually. Another big part is surveillance, of course. Which we see is a rather negative here in Europe in general and in our community. So CCTV cameras or surveillance in buildings and trying to do facial recognition to work out which people are there and who are those people. And one other thing is which has recently been used, are body cams, so they are relatively new. And I would like to show a first video for this one. So let's see. I would at least love it. There have been some problem with the videos. Now it works. So now. Okay, so this person has an outstanding warrant. So can someone tell me when the video is over? So obviously he doesn't see the video. Okay. Fine. Okay. So there's been some problems with the stream delay, I suppose. So what you can see, what I don't see, is that this system it's the company is called Wolfcom, and they use body cams with live facial recognition. So the pictures are sent by real time to their server, and they are detected. So now they have sold already 1 million body cams to 1,500 police departments and universities in several countries. There's also MCVS, which is a big American pharmacy group, where they actually check all customers. So that's rather critical. There are big concerns for that already. So yeah, they raised big concerns, but he just is looking for the German word actually. So okay, yeah. So critical voices are high on that. So body cams are sometimes just they're good, but not for live facial detection. So one funny thing is from China here, where you can see that where they do a lot of facial recognition, also like in UK, so they have everywhere, they have cameras everywhere with the facial recognition. And this example was pretty, that was funny actually. So this is, you see the people have a social score. If people violate some regulations, their social score gets down, and they are sometimes shamed in public. But in that case, the actual reality was that you saw on the bus an advertisement for I don't remember what it was. I think it was a politician, So she just made an advertisement, and so the buses, of course, went over the passage when the people actually weren't supposed to cross the street. So but her face was acknowledged, and so suddenly she had her face there, and her social score went down, which was of course not nice for that person, but it shows that there are some problems with this system if they just get random people from buses. Next thing, let's talk about numbers to show you how bad this actually is currently. So these are the numbers from Germany. For Austria, I actually didn't find anything. I didn't really look for it, but I didn't have any. So in Germany, you have a central database with 5.8 million pictures. And in the first half of the year of 2019, there has been approximately 24,000 requests and questions and on this from the police. Also, the federal police tried to ask this database 1,200 times and identified 219 people. So if you think about that, if you have 5.8 million pictures, so you see that in 1 year, the 219 people actually did anything bad. So it's not really if they actually did something against law. So it's the percentage is ridiculously low. So if you took like all of the others, 5.7 million something million have been checked each and every time. So it's just you have a general, it's more or less like a general, they inquire without any lead. So they just test everyone, which is rather critical. In Bavaria, for 12 years they have this system, and they were able to identify in 2019 387 bad guys, whatever, so criminals, and they had approximately 1,800,000 pictures in their database. So again, the German government person for data protection says this is a very deep attack on the privacy official. This is a deep attack on general, on your basic rights. I'll talk about on the next few slides on tests and errors, and to connect the numbers you'll hear and see. So that, for example, are two diagrams from a presentation from a company called Cognitec, which called themselves an industry-leading facial recognition company. And they say that they have a false acceptance rate. Yeah, so you have to distinguish in biometrics, so false acceptance rate versus false rejection rate. So you have to compare them all the time. And they say, well, they've 0.1 false acceptance rate is generally seen as okay, but it still means that every thousandth person who is actually didn't do anything wrong is seen, well, is identified. And they had a false rejection rate of 2%, which means that only 98% were identified correctly, and but under ideal conditions. That's the important point. So on the right side, you can see like a mugshot, so perfectly illuminated. So there's where they get 98%. But when people start moving and just moving their head, like 10% angle of their head, suddenly the detection rate is going down below 90% already, just for that, moving your head for 10 degrees, which is nothing. And then, of course, you had like tests in the field. In Germany, had suffered two of those tests, one in the main railway station at Mainz. And they tried, and you've seen that those detection rates were like abysmally bad. So they actually tested under rather good conditions, but still they had like 40% detection rate. And when the light conditions were bad, actually, suddenly the detection rate went down even further. So bad lightning conditions that was done in 2007, this test in Mainz. So the cameras, this is, you could see like they looked sometimes into the sun when the sunset went, so suddenly you only had like 20% recognition. So I mean 20%, that means like 80% are erroneously recognized, so that's really bad. And on the same, it's getting even worse if you look at the Südkreuz a test, which was done 3 years ago at the Berlin main station, and they had some testing persons and put them like put them on several spots in the railway and checked how well is the detection rate. And the average detection rate was like 30 to 68%, and false detection rate of 0.1, but they actually did a lot of tricks. Like, so they actually tested three systems and combined those results and allegedly got to 84% if they combined the results. I'll explain some stuff about this data, but just to make it clear, 84%, that's the best they could get. So 16% of the people, you have several thousand people going over that main station every day. So 16% of the people were like false. So suddenly the system is starting to blink red and say, this person is dangerous. And so this means that suddenly those cases, the policemen will think that these are like terrorists or felony criminals, so they actually have to go out immediately and arrest those people instead of also, but with 16% bad detection, this is ridiculous. Somehow less funny story about so how bad this can actually be. So the first attempt was aborted, and then they started a second one they didn't took the ideal pictures for comparison, but took pictures which have been actually made on the main station itself, and then compare those. And suddenly, and those percentages went up a bit. But on the other hand, it's totally not usable in praxis. So if you compare those, they work worse if they are, so you can't compare them on like other stations, because suddenly you have totally different lightning conditions, etc. So that's kind of problematic. So all those values are totally irrelevant and rather like very dangerous.
And then they manipulated the results further. What you can see here, for example, in the right picture, you have three colored points, or points in three colors, and they are for the three systems they used. And for the red system, there are five, and for the others, there are 6 points, data points for the 6 days. So for the five, there's only five, for the red, there's only 5 days. So for the red one, they just ignored some data. And in the second area, they just ignored data from the blue one. And that is really suspicious, because if you take data out from of your data set, well, you should use all your data. You really should not cherry pick the data that fit. And yeah, you can see something here where the arrows point. Yeah, this one point is a blue point that should be up here. So normally they are here for 10 days. So in the area of 70-80%. But there is an outlier where it's just 20%. And the same on the other side here. And you should really wonder, how can this happen? And how can these outliers happen? So there might be days where not 16% are wrong, but 80. And it should be clear that it's a huge problem. And here as well, in the next picture, there are the hits from the total system over the total time. And you should have exactly the same number of data points in this week. But this complete area is manipulated. So for the evaluation for the total positive hit rate, they did not evaluate the complete database. They just ignored some data. So this whole analysis can be ignored. It's not just bad. It's not just bad results. It's also, those bad results are also even manipulated. And yeah, and this should still be, they still want to use this. That it can work was showed by the Center for Political Beauty after the protests in Chemnitz. They used a system, or built a system, where they were putting the pictures they took at the demonstration, or someone took at a demonstration, and fed it to the Amazon facial recognition software, and had surprisingly good results. I played with the system myself a little, and there were things like, I have a picture of Merkel and I put it in there, and then it showed me, yeah, they had pictures of Merkel as a zombie, and facial recognition still found that and recognized her. So a proper picture of her was provided, and the zombie version was still recognized. And I found that amazing. Found it noteworthy. And yeah, in future, all this will improve a lot, especially with machine learning. And we have to think now what we can do against it. So how can we manage to not get recognized anymore? I tried something here with a system by Samsung. The Galaxy S8 has facial recognition, and on the left is what I put into the system. It recognized me, and the other 6 pictures are something where I tried to manipulate my face in small ways, where I cover my mouth or blow up my cheeks, and it couldn't recognize me easily. But I'm pretty sure the Amazon would still be able to recognize me. So if you use a lot of good algorithms and have a lot of computational power, this will not be enough. This might be enough. It was one of the experiments or a protest at Südkreuz where we dressed up and experimented how we could evade And how you could fight against recognition in total would be a burger like this. So you might not be, your reputation might suffer, but it's also not as nice to wear it all the time. But there also was another thing from the Americans again, the mad scientists again, and one of those scientists built privacy glasses. It's glasses with infrared LEDs, and because those systems usually work with near infrared light, you can, without blinding people, because we can't see infrared light, you can still blind these systems, so they can't recognize the faces anymore. Or, a bit more extreme, are face tattoos. And here also the goal is to target systems using machine learning. Nobody really knows how these systems work, so you can, sometimes using relatively simple methods, completely confuse them. On the left side you have simple patterns, and on the right side it's like completely strange, and that does not get recognized anymore. And a very extreme case, how we can trick against facial recognition, are celebrity glasses. It was a study from the Carnegie Mellon University, I think. They took frames for glasses and printed certain patterns on them. And those patterns are recognized as part of the faces. And hence, these people were not recognized as themselves, but as the ones that are now shown below. So you could even change your gender using this method, at least the perceived gender that the cameras apply to you. So just using these frames, you can really confuse the cameras or the algorithms. So to pixelize images, especially when you go to protests, for example, the G20 protest in Hamburg, where police really takes a lot of pictures and also uses public pictures, publicly available pictures. So whenever you go to those protests, you should pixelize them and do it properly, because the police might use them and also work with them. And some of those algorithms are so good, they can use pixelized pictures and undo that. So not if you put a black block over your face, of course, but something that will hopefully be seen in the video right now. There you can see how a pixelated picture, so the algorithm takes the pixelated picture and then it tries to use standard pictures it found in the internet and compares and pixelates these images it found, and then it tries to compare it. So at some point, when it's happy with the results, it can say, yeah, the pixelated person probably looks like what I found here. I hope the video worked. Unfortunately, we can't see the stream in the control room, so yeah, it worked, you saw it. It is amazing, something that's really pixelated and could still be undone. And that was used. There were some 5 years ago, a case where a child abuser who pixelated his face, but they could catch him by using such algorithms. So they could undo a swirl. It wasn't a pixelation, but a swirl in this case, and they could reconstruct his face. And why is that important? Well, you probably have heard of ClearView. It's a company who claims to have stolen 3 billion pictures from Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, and put all these pictures into a database and sells this database to 2,200 customers in 27 countries. For example, US Immigration Office, US Border Patrol, DHS, but also Interpol and European police forces, but also universities and, yeah, all kinds of people. And in the beginning, you could quite easily get a test account and test their services and look for your colleagues or people you're stalking or how certain people are called or their names. That was, heavy. So those were the bad things. Now let's get back to the fun. How can we overcome these? Facial recognition, I talked about it before. Most of that uses easy or simple 2D imaging, just normal cameras using visible light. So tricking those is also relatively easy. So my first contact with facial recognition was something like this. I was giving a talk at one of the camps back then. So I took used a photo, had a facial recognition system, and it recognized a photo instead of a person. Some of them use something with movement within the face, moving, turning the face, or blinking. So a simple photo is not enough anymore, but you can still use a video. If you have a video of the person, then you can use that, but it's even easier. And I would now like a certain video to be played. So I'll try to tell a little bit about this. It was a colleague of mine, and we had this facial recognition software. We were testing it. And as a first test, we used his face and he was recognized. And this software expects an eye blinking at some point. So first there is a facial recognition and then it recognized the eyes were blinking. And we could simulate it by using a photo and then using just a pen and just move that across the printed out photo. And what the algorithm did was to take the video and was checking for the position of the pupils. And the pen was more or less skin color. And this created, so the algorithm saw the more or less skin color and didn't see the eyes anymore, so it assumed there was blinking and opened up the computer. So these systems are only for 2D systems, of course. How can we go to the third dimension? Well, we can print masks, complete masks like this, in Mission Impossible style, that masks that you can wear at MasterCard. They're using a similar system with 2D, but they say, well, they don't just say now blink, but do a specific gesture. And this is now the last video, face manipulation. And what you can see here is that there is a camera and a picture of the person. So it's a person you want to emulate. And what this system now does is it takes the movement data from the one person and from the one picture and maps it to the data of the other picture. So you can just digitally wear a Donald Trump costume and move his mouth. Okay, so the second to last is something slide is a positive one. So for a long time, there are experiments against or efforts made against facial recognition. And the last few years, there were some successes. So the Czechs are now not using facial recognition in public surveillance, so in public CCTV anymore. California is not allowing CCTV to use facial recognition anymore. And there were also bans of facial recognition in schools, so that's worth something. So now that's the more or less the final slide. The dilemma of facial recognition, either it doesn't work, so someone is falsely recognized, and or even if it someone should be recognized, it does not work and terrorists are not kept from attacking. Or the alternative, it works so well that there is total surveillance. And we are now more or less moving to the second scenario, especially with the machine learning stuff, where the algorithms are improving further and further, and we have to take active measures by now to protect ourselves and wear glasses and special makeup so we can still assume some privacy. And it is endangered by now. So it was a bit chaotic. I hope you still understood it, and still thank you very much.
Okay. Puppe, now you can unmute if there are any questions. Thanks. That's nice, Sabak. Thanks a lot. I thought before my voice detection is it gets recorded as a biometric. Biometrics. So there have been some questions. Yeah. So how many people actually are in this central database in Germany? 5 million pictures and 100 picture per person. Of course, that is unfortunately information which is not public, so we don't know. We tried using Frag den Staat, so Ask the State, which is a German platform which enables you to make Freedom of Information Act requests. We tried this for the data for the railway station Südkreuz in Bavaria. So by now, the Freedom of Information Act helps us to get this stuff. Yeah. Okay. Rather private question. What kind of beer are you drinking here, if you're drinking beer at all? I'm drinking this one. So, but otherwise, I like to drink Bavarian light beer. Okay. Now we have the glasses and makeup are not actually like everyday usable. So actually, we need political action to remove that. Well, I'd say the glasses are at least interesting. So of course, all the makeup is not really like publicly wearable, but the glasses, I really think it's at least an interesting thing. And of course, they only work on special algorithms, and it doesn't work, and it works only as long as until the algorithms are patched. So yeah, of course, we have to do something politically, because otherwise we're going to find ourselves in a system where people are surveilled all the time. And if you're looking at China, this you see that this can be very quickly at a point where it really affects the daily routines of everyone. Social scores, which is sometimes compared to with facial recognition, which is combined with small crimes or stuff like that, and which may make it impossible for you to travel. So, and this is something, so we definitely have to do something political. So if you want to engage here, like E3 makes a big campaign in this on this topic currently in Europe, and I will clearly be there with the people of E3 to make like a declaration and also put that on ccc.de so that you can look where you can actually participate. Okay, another comment, I'd say. Not everything was bad. At least now we have facial. Now we're allowed to make facial masks outside. So another question: the surveillance of private people in public is illegal. Why don't people do anything against that if it actually affects them? They're actually, it's their right to protest against that. Well, on the one hand side, this is that it's the surveillance is rather like it's rather undercover because you actually don't really know that the camera is surveilling you and in worst case also using facial recognition. Then you have to find out who actually runs this camera, who, because in Germany you have special laws which say that each camera that is that films on public must make public who actually runs the camera. So otherwise, you can't just surveil a public space. Well, most likely you would have to do a big campaign to get and just sue people who just put cameras into public spaces to make this heard. So there's actually everyone can participate. Maybe we can just do one such a thing, like make a portal, so like where it's easy to sue people immediately. Yeah, and less people check who actually is. Oh, I'll write that down as a campaign. That's a good idea. Yeah, one question from me. We're always talking about facial recognition, but is it this facial recognition stuff is actually just more like video-based identification, where actually you have like a mapping? So you just mentioned China and social scoring. So usually, if you're talking about sanctioning like social, like in social scoring, where you suddenly can get less money, so actually you recognize faces, but you don't. It's not about faces; it's identity. I think that's something we should really push. Yeah, the wording actually is, it's just a scientific. But of course, in reality, you actually use you combine the camera image with like an official personal ID, link it, yeah. So, and of course, so in fact, it's like an identification of anyone who passes by those cameras and not just a official. Oh, I just have a chat. Let's see. Okay, no new questions. No, so I'd say, thanks a lot to Starbuck for your great talk, Quo Vadis facial recognition. And then I'd say have a nice evening, Starbuck, have a nice evening to the audience. Now we will continue. The next talk will be about bye-bye end-to-end encryption, so about proposed laws in the US and the European Union and other countries, so which actually fits pretty neatly to the talk before that. So I'd say stay tuned, stay in 7 minutes that this talk will start. You can just get some, get something to drink, get your organic limo for that, or just do something good for people, gain some karma points, maybe just do some donations to us. So it will really be good for the event. And yeah, so you know, pecunia non olet, so money doesn't stink. So if you have, if you're in the happy situation that you have such kind of IT comp job, usually we only have social problems, but our jobs, we can still do them at home. So at this point, we're really happy if you can do any donations. Thanks a lot proactively for that. And then I say goodbye. So you're released to the break. It was nice having you here. Goodbye. So, and also goodbye from your translators. The next talk will, of course, be translated as well. So this translation was brought to you by Dimir and B. See you soon and goodbye.